Now may we spend a brief moment in prayer before we turn to the Word. May we turn to the Lord. O God, our Father, we remember how Thou hast said in Thy Word through Thy Son, without me, ye can do nothing. And each of us desperately need Thy help now, one to speak, many to hear and obey. We ask Thee that in Thy mercy Thou wilt fulfill to us consciously and individually the promise of Thy Son concerning the Holy Spirit, that He will take of the things of Christ show them to us. May we see our blessed Lord and ourselves in the light of His love and grace. May we respond gladly to Him. We ask it for His name's sake. Turn with me to the first epistle of John, the first chapter, reading at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading from his holy word. For a very long time, since I knew that I was to speak on Tuesday night, I've been held to this particular passage. And I felt that it was the whole passage that really I was to speak about, but as today I've been spending much time in prayer and preparation concerning this evening's gathering, I seem to have been held to one verse, although it will be within the context of the whole passage, a verse which seems to speak to us both searchingly and also savingly concerning our need as those who, as Christians, are nevertheless conscious of the fact that we're sinners. Sinners in God's sight as well as in our own. And the verse is verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's a verse that seems to fall quite simply into three parts. I'm always glad when verses do this. Makes life a bit simpler for me. And here they are. First of all, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Secondly, we have fellowship one with another. And thirdly, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's take it then. This is a verse spoken to Christians, and it begins with the word if, then all Christians apparently do not walk in the light. Let that sink right in, because immediately it poses the question, am I, are you, walking in the light? For here we have, first of all, a condition with which we are charged. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. And by the light in which we are told we must walk is meant both the truth of God and the righteousness and holiness of God, both what he is and what he says. If there is to be a walking in the light, there must, first of all, have been a coming to the light. When you and I come to Christ and bring our lives into the light of his truth and righteousness, we find ourselves in for a pretty searching time. The light will reveal what is foul in our living and will dispel what is false in our thinking. When you and I were converted, that in a sense was our coming to the light. But as we've just been remembered, it's possible for Christians to lose the road and to stray from the light. I wonder if there are some Christians here tonight and you're not walking in the light to which you came, and things are wrong. Is there a Christian here and things are wrong in your life? Things not working well? Things not going properly? Things not functioning smoothly. I always remembered an incident that I heard Duncan Campbell, I think, relate of a journey by night by car in the north of Scotland. Something suddenly went wrong with the car, but without a torch and in the dark, it was impossible to trace the trouble. And suddenly the darkness was pierced by long fingers of light reaching up into the sky. The fleet was anchored off Invergordon, and the searchlights of the fleet were stabbing the darkness and sweeping in all directions. And suddenly the beam of a searchlight fell right across the road just 50 yards ahead, and it stayed there. In a moment the handbrake was off the car, and everybody was behind it pushing. And they pushed it right into the beam. The trouble was located, rectified, and the journey resumed. A coming to the light. And I wonder whether there is some Christian here who came once to the light, and what you need is to come to it again. Coming into the light of the truth of God. Coming into the light of the radiance and the wonder and the glory and the holiness and the love of God. Coming into the light. If. Will you bring your life in its totality into the light tonight? Will I? Every relationship of life, your church life, your family life, your personal life, your business life. Your Christian life. There must be a coming to the light. And there what is false may be dispelled by God's truth, and what is foul will be revealed. But this verse doesn't just speak of a coming to the light. And here's the rub. John says, not if we come to the light, but if we walk in the light. It's not enough for there to be a coming to the light. There must be a continuing in the light. Should I prepare to walk in the light? Are we? Every moment of every day? If we walk in the light, every day our thinking must be brought into submission to the truth of God. It's exactly what John was doing in this letter. Strange ideas were getting a hold of these Christians to whom he was writing. Some of them were thinking that sin didn't matter. They were saying, we have fellowship with God. And they were walking in darkness. John had to bring that into the light of God's truth. And he said, if that's what you're saying, you're lying. Some were saying that sin wasn't there at all. They were saying, we have no sin. John says, you're deceiving yourself. Not deceiving anybody else, of course. Occasionally I come across some Christians and they've gotten a hold of some kind of doctrine that they say is in the Bible that says that somehow or other God has taken away all sin out of their heart. Well, strangely enough, this doesn't seem to say that. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Whenever I meet anybody that says that, I just want 5 minutes with his wife. I'll soon find out if he's got any sin in his heart. Or if he hasn't got a wife, just give me 5 minutes with his cat. That'll do just as well. Some of them were saying that sin wasn't sin. You know, for a long time I couldn't make out what verse 10 meant. If we say that we have not sinned, I thought to myself, nobody would be so stupid as to say that. Nobody but a complete idiot would say that he hadn't sinned. Nobody here would say, we haven't sinned. You wouldn't say you haven't sinned. But may I ask you this question? If I read it like this, if we say we haven't sinned, that different? Some of them were not calling sin, sin. And there are Christians here tonight, and there is sin in your life, and you will not call it sin. You call it something else. You call it business. That's what you call it. God doesn't call it business. He calls it sin. You call it nature. God doesn't call it that. He calls it sin. Is there a Christian here and you're holding things in your life right now and you know perfectly well that they're sin and you will not call them sin? You won't. You know what you're doing? You're making God a liar. Because he calls it sin, and you say it isn't. You call it anything else, but you won't call it sin. When you and I walk in the light and continue in the light, wrong thinking about things is dispelled. You prepared to continue in the light? Am I? All right, here at Keswick, fine, but right back there at home. There must be a continuing in the truth of God, a continuing in the will of God,
the implications of that will in my life, in holiness and righteousness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, nothing concealed, nothing withheld, nothing untrue, nothing unworthy. Is that your desire? Is that your intention? Is that your resolve? Is that your pathway? Walking in the light, a coming to the light, and a continuing in the light. A condition with which we are charged. And wouldn't it be tremendous if it could be said of every single believer here in Keswick, in the churches listening in, that we had not only come to the light, but we were continuing in the light. This was where we were living. This is where we would walk, in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, what then? We have fellowship one with another. If there is a condition with which we are charged, there is a communion to which we are called. We have fellowship one with another. Commentators are not quite sure whether what John means is that in that light we have fellowship with the person of God, the fellowship that had been falsely and presumptuously claimed in verse 6, or fellowship with the people of God, they with him, and they with one another. The fellowship spoken about in verse 3. The right answer is, of course, that both are meant. If you and I are prepared to walk in the light, we will have fellowship both with God and with others who are in the light. So there will be two discoveries. First of all, the discovery of an intimacy with God at the heart of all my living. Fellowship with God himself through Christ when we get into the light and walk in the light. And you and I think as God thinks and will what God wills and want what God wants. When we're on God's wavelength, we will have fellowship with God. This is brought out in the words of Christ. In John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, and that's walking in the light, surely. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, I will manifest myself to him. So if I'm walking in the light, I will find I'm having fellowship with the one who is light. But I will also have fellowship not simply with God himself, the person of my God, but with the people of my God. Not only is there an intimacy with God at the heart of my living, but there's the company of others every hour of my living. We will not be the only ones in the light. There will be others walking with us, and we with them. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, which would seem to indicate and imply that Christian development to maturity is something that can only be achieved within a vital and living fellowship. Listen to these words of St. Paul, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You and I are going to grow in Christian sanctity and be useful in Christian service. It will never be as we grow as individual Christians, but only as we live in the fellowship of the Lord's people. How much there will be that we can learn from one another. How much there will be that we will share with one another. How much there will be that we will aspire to in one another. How much there will be that will rebuke us in one another. There will be encouragement. There will be enrichment to be given and received. You and I are not God's only children, but members of a big family. We have fellowship one with another. And should there come the fall that would cloud our fellowship with him, then there is the forgiveness that follows swiftly upon our confession of it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's the clearing of a clouded fellowship. Walking in the light. The condition with which we are charged, the communion to which we are called. And then possibly the most tremendous statement of all, the corruption from which we are cleansed. This is a fantastic sentence. To me, this is one of the most tremendous sentences almost in the New Testament for the child of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin, the corruption from which we are cleansed. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin. These words take us straight to the cross of Christ, the death of Christ for us, for that's what the words the blood of Christ mean. It's the death of Christ. And all I want to say that in the first place, these words speak to me of a mystery the cross enshrines. Strange mystery that somehow or other the death of Christ has to do not just with my forgiving, but with my living. Scholars and preachers are agreed that these words have to do with living the Christian life. Sanctification, not justification alone, if at all, sanctification is in view. John Stott comments, the reference here must be to cleansing from the defilement of our fallen nature. Professor William Berkeley says, these words look on the sacrifice of Christ not only as something which atones for the sin of the past, but as something which equips a man in holiness day by day. Professor Alexander Ross comments, the present tense is deeply significant. It speaks of something which goes on constantly, that constant cleansing which the holiest Christians need. This verse, no doubt, speaks to us of both justification and progressive sanctification. And Andrew Murray comments, cleansing from sin means deliverance from the pollution, not from the guilt of sin. The mystery the cross enshrines. But somehow or other, in a way beyond my understanding, the dying of Jesus deals with the sin in my heart. The blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing from all sin. Not sin. Sin. All this language, which but reflects the language of the New Testament, takes us right out of our depth. Paul speaks of the cross as something to do with his daily life as a Christian. Have you ever faced a verse of Scripture that you've shirked? Have you? I have. God gave me as a young Christian a verse that's meant a great deal to me. Every time I'm asked to sign my name, I add at the bottom, Phil 3:10. But for a very long time in my life, I shirked the final phrase. You shirked it? That I may know him, fine. And the power of his risen life, fine. And the fellowship of his suffering, not so good. Willing for that. being made conformable unto his death, what does that mean? What does it mean? I didn't want to find out, and I never tried. All I will say, that knowing him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings is based upon being made conformable to his death. There is that in the dying of Christ that affects my living for him. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The mystery the cross enshrines, I don't begin to understand it. Sometimes when I hear good folks saying it was a simple gospel message, I say, it may have been a gospel message, but I don't know anything about any simple gospel message. The more you and I handle the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ, the more we're lost in mystery. Somebody once asked a divinity professor how long it had taken him to understand the atonement. He said, I don't understand it yet. It'll take me all eternity to understand it. I don't understand how the dying of Christ upon the cross affects my living. But I know this, that the Word of God says the death of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing me from all sin. As Andrew Murray comments, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin, from original as well as actual. The blood exercises its spiritual heavenly power in the soul. The believer in whose life the blood is fully efficacious experiences that the old nature is hindered from manifesting its power. Scripture, scholars, and saints all would point to this one fact: there is more in the cross than pardon. Grip it. There is more in the cross than pardon. Don't tell me, don't ask me to explain how. All I know, the Word of God says it's there. How it works, we may not know. We cannot tell. But if there is a mystery the cross enshrines, there's a ministry the cross effects. Cleanseth from all sin. Sin, not sins. Sin, the thing within that defiles and spoils my life. I can be kept on being cleansed from this. It goes on cleansing. Well, if the blood needs to go on cleansing, then the sin goes on remaining. There's nothing here of sinless perfection. There's nothing in the Bible that speaks of eradication. I'm a sinner now, I'll remain a sinner until I die. And then I shall be changed. But as long as I am a sinner, I can have a cross that goes on cleansing, a Savior who can go on keeping. And if I don't understand how this is done, I can still rejoice that it will be done. The thing that I noted as I was meditating on this verse is that both the fellowship and the cleansing depend upon the walk. If we walk in the light, let's take the statement just as it stands. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one another, myself and my Lord, myself and the Lord's people who are with me in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And there in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing me from all sin. I don't need even to ask for that to be done. It will be done. If I walk in the light, mystery here? Yes, there's mystery here. Now don't get so bogged down in worrying about the mystery that you don't enjoy the ministry. So I come back to that little word, if. I want to ask you, as I ask myself tonight, is there some Christian here and you need to come back to the light of God's truth, God's righteousness, God's love? Heaven alone knows you've been out wandering in the dark for days, for weeks, for months, for years. You're lost. You need to come back to the light. And those of us who came to the light, are you prepared to walk in the light? So that every day, every moment of the day, this is your path. In the light, nothing can see, nothing withheld, nothing excused, nothing unworthy. I'm walking in the light of my Lord. His truth, His grace, His love. If I walk there, then I'll have fellowship with Him and with others who are in the light with me. And then this incredible thing will happen. The crucified Lord will somehow, in a way that I can't understand, deal with the sin that is within my own heart, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will go on cleansing me from all sin. Not from its guilt, but from its defiling and staining and wrecking work in my life. Let us pray. I'm going to pronounce the benediction. Then I want to suggest we spend the moment in absolute quietness and, if you like, forget everything I've said and hold on to the Word of God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with us this night and evermore. Amen. And here's the word as we bow for 1 minute of silence and prayer. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Forget everything I've said and hold on to that. And shall we purpose in our hearts and minds that that is to be the pathway of our Christian living in the days to come. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.